I'm continuing my series on my most beloved and most beautiful psalms in the Bible. So this is the third last. I have two more psalms to go, and it's very, very beautiful. I don't want to let go, but I have so many things I want to say. So I just want to give up on these psalms after preaching at 10 or 11. So let's begin with a prayer. Dear Lord, just want to thank you this morning when we come to you. Like, Lord, we remember all those people who are running away from war-torn countries. Lord, we know what it's like, Lord, because, Lord, you came down for us. And all of us sinful. I've been asked today why so many problems, because man is sinful, and because of our power, and because of our greed, and because of our a lust for fame, we take people along with us, and a lot of people are hurt by that. So we pray, Lord, that today's message will inspire us, Lord, to do good and to look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Psalms 57, this psalm I'm going to preach on is very different from any other psalm you've heard of, because this Psalm 57, after we read from it, I did not include the title. There's a title that goes with this psalm. It's called A Psalm to the Chief Musician from David when he fled from Saul in the king in the cave. So this is one of those psalms whereby the word flee, not the insect, okay, is in the Bible, okay? What does the word flee mean, okay? Cambridge Dictionary say flee is to escape by running away, especially because of danger or fear. Oxford says flee is to leave a person or place very quickly, especially because you're afraid of possible danger. Here are some sentences with the word flee from the internet. I love this. Follow love and it will flee. Flee love and it will follow you. Okay. To flee vice, which is immorality, is the beginning of virtue. It's a primitive instinct to flee a place of danger. War, famine, and oppression have forced people in the region to flee from their homes. We know that the world is at war, right? 4 years ago from Ukraine, and now people have been fleeing from their homes. Now, a lot of other countries, like from Lebanon, people try to flee away from danger, right? And so a lot of places are at war, and it's normal for us to flee. Now, today in the Bible, there's a beautiful psalm with the word flee as the title, okay? Now, no one in the Bible is more associated with the word flee than David the king. And this was written before he was king. 8 times in the stories of David, the verb flee comes, okay? And twice in the Psalms, mentioned David flee. One is in this one from now he is already married, his father-in-law. Okay. And after he became king, he had to flee from his son, who wanted to be the next king and wanted to kill him. So, in your life, have you ever had to flee from foes, or even what do you need when you flee? Okay, how do you face your fears when you flee, and why in fleeing is our purpose on God and not on men and things? There are a lot of things we have to flee from, right? Sometimes we flee from our foes, right? And sometimes we flee from our friends. And sometimes we have to flee from ourselves too, okay? So what do we have to take note when we flee, okay? First thing is to, whenever we are in danger, when we are in fear, okay? This is not just, Saul did not come into the verse, but only in the title, because this is about a general way to deal with danger, okay? The first is to plead to God for mercy, okay? The first thing we do when we have to flee is to we plead to God for mercy. Let's all read together. 1, 2, 3. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking to those who hardly pursue me. And so we can see in this passage, the first thing is that we cry out to God. And you see at the end of verse 1, until the disaster has passed. In Old English, this is better word. It's not called disaster. It's called calamities. It's called calamities has passed. Okay, could be more than disaster. Okay, now here are some quotes on the internet about what are calamities. Okay, suffering becomes beautiful when anyone bears great calamities with cheerfulness, not through insensibility, but to great, but through great greatness of mind. This is by Aristotle. I love this Samuel Johnson, who writes a lot of great prayers. He said, when any calamity has been suffered, the first thing to be remembered is how much has been escaped. Okay, how much we escaped from it. Mark Twain, the calamity that comes is never the one we have prepared ourselves for. Bill Watterson, often it takes some calamity to make us live in the present. Then we suddenly wake up and see all the mistakes we have made. It is not every calamity that is a curse, and early adversity is often a blessing. Like the Chinese say, a little bit of sickness is better than is a good thing, okay? Surmounted differences, difficulties not only teach, but harden us in our future struggles. There's no disaster that can't become a blessing, and no blessing that can't become a disaster. This psalm is beautiful because more than like one-third of the psalms is dedicated to the chief musician. And this one I didn't include the title, but this is dedicated to the chief musician. But Psalm 57 is only first of three poems that come with the title, David's poem. They have another smaller title in the original, Thou Shall Not Destroy, including David as a person. Okay. On top of this, this is the only setting whereby it says that David fled from Saul. That's why I chose this one, because this is a time whereby we are in danger, and when we are fleeing, what do we do? Okay. But when the title mentions Saul, but David never named Saul himself in the psalm. Instead, he didn't say Saul, but he said disasters. The general term for calamities. Because it's not Saul, it could be in the future. There could be many Sauls in your life. And not only that, ironical, he didn't say calamity. He didn't say disaster. He said disasters. That's what we face in life, right? Not just one, huh? More than one. There are many calamities in life. It can be someone doing mischief on you, or some misfortune you have come, or even some madness, people who are mad. Okay. Now, I love this word disaster. Do you know why? Because this word disaster never appeared in the Bible until the book of poetry. That means all the historical books, until Nehemiah, they don't have this book. Do you know when it first came? Do you know who coined this word? The most suffering person of all. Job. Okay? The first time it appears in the Bible, appears in Job chapter 6. So, person who knows what it's like to face sickness and aging, death, and all those other things, loneliness in life. But David, going through all this, he began with his focus is on God. Not people. Not things. Not circumstances. So what did he do? He started with an imperative. Go back to the verse. Okay, say have mercy, which is an imperative, a command. It's not like you command God, but it's a great plea to God. Have mercy on me, O God. Okay, so it starts off with his relationship with God, and even that have mercy. In the imperative, it occurs many times in the Bible, but this first time it occurs in the first verse. You start off a psalm, start off a prayer with, have mercy on me. Okay, and And the other thing about this is the only time in one verse, twice, the imperative, have mercy, have mercy. I'm sorry. So when you are going through dangers or disasters in your life, the first thing is to plead to God and be open and be honest about what you're facing. Okay, and have mercy means that, Lord, have sympathy on me. Lord, I make supplication to you. Lord, give me that support. It's very important that you go to God and ask for strength. Okay, give me strength. It's asking God to be your help, to be your haven of hope, to be your hideout, to be the harbor in the storms, and to be your helmsman to let you stir the troubled waters. Mercy occurs a record-breaking 127 times in the Psalms, more than other good words like goodness of God, more than even glory, and more than holy. In fact, it's more than twice that much. So the first thing in our lives is ask God for His mercy. Have you asked God for mercy when you're going through trouble? Or do you think you're very deserving? Nobody should treat you like this. No. The first thing is to plead to God for mercy. It doesn't matter who you are, but you ask God first for that mercy in love. And if you see verse 1, there's a reason given. Do you see that word? For. I always love the for in the Bible. People mistake that. For in you, my soul takes refuge. Okay? My soul can only take refuge in you. Nothing else. Take refuge, you know, it means we can run to you. We can race. We can rush quickly for safety, for His support, for His solace. Have you ever done that? Run quickly. Don't question your friend. Don't question your neighbor. Don't question your family. Don't question the church. The first thing you do is run to God. Isn't that? For in you, I can have shelter. Some people can have shelter, but God, we can always have shelter, okay? We can escape all the malice people do to us, okay? All the mistreatment people do to us, all the menace in life. That's why we plead to God and say, have mercy on me, because I can always take refuge in you. Take refuge is not just the physical part, okay? It can be our attitude, it can be our approach, it can be our acknowledgement to God, and it can be anything but your relationship with God. Very, very important. It's not about emotional, not about physical, not about intellectual, but to depend on God. Depend solely on God. And this one, it says, I take refuge in the shadow of wings until the disasters pass. Do you like to see YouTube? I love to see those animals on YouTube. Especially this flying, you see the eagles, you see all this flying birds. It's very fascinating. Okay, so I went up to. By the way, Google, the wings is plural. Okay, not one. You cannot fly that much. Okay, and what was special about wings? Wings can absorb. Absorb shock for the young little birds when they are born. Some parents hide their babies up in the trees very, very high. And after they're born, they have to fly with their mom at the ground. How do they do that, little birds just born? But because of their wings, they can absorb all the shock and all the stress of flying and all the scrapes that when they went down the ground. And Google AI says that birds use their wings to cushion landings by flapping them in a way that generates both drag and lift, acting as an air brake and suspension system to decelerate and absorb the the force of touchdown. Isn't that beautiful? That you can always depend on God, you can hide in the shadow of his wings until the disaster has passed. Okay? I cry out to God Most High. Now, this cry is not the emotional. It's not like tears. Cry, this is very basic word, is call. Kara. I call out to God. Okay, when you are in trouble, okay, it doesn't have to be like have to be an emotional, but it has to be something you depend on God. I call out to God. It's a plea. It's a petition. It's a prayer. When you're in trouble, the first thing is to do, you run to him and then you call to him. Okay. And why? He is our Most High God. What's Most High God mean? Okay. High God, high, Most High in Genesis chapter 40, it can be translated as uppermost. He is the uppermost God. He's the topmost. He's the foremost. Okay? He's the utmost God. So you can depend on him when you're going through trouble. And why? He will send from heaven and save us. Save means that he can deliver you, he can defend you, he can deter you, your enemies, and he can direct us from troubles, threats, and trials in your life. It can be Saul, it can be anyone. But the first thing we do, the first instinct is to plead to God for mercy. Okay, the first thing. The second thing, you will know what it is. Besides pleading, you even have to praise. Praise him in the highest. Okay. Let's read together. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts. Men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, that they have fallen into it themselves. Selah. Okay, this is beautiful. When you have problems, you can be both. You can talk about your problems, but yet in the midst of your problems, you can praise God. It's a balance. We have to acknowledge we have problems, but yet we have to acknowledge our God. But if we just acknowledge our God, we don't acknowledge we have problems, that can also be denying who we are. Okay? And this story about an old preacher, an old pastor, and he was dying. Okay? So he sent a message to the banker in his church and lawyer in his church. And they both, the lawyer and the banker, came to the church. When they arrived, they came to his bedroom. And when they arrived, the preacher grabbed their hands and smiled and just and very content, but stared at the ceiling. He was dying, okay? For a time, no one said anything. Both the banker and the lawyer were touched by the preacher because they remember all the troubles they gave to the preacher. Okay. There are a lot of and in exchange, the pastor direct a lot of messages aiming at them about greed, about covetousness and selfish behavior. So they have problems, and everybody knows about it and they squirm in their seats hearing the pastor's message every Sunday. Finally, after hours of non-talk, the bankers said to the pastor, "Pastor, why do you ask us to come?" And the old pastor, almost to his last breath, mustered all his strength and then said to them very quietly, "Jesus died between two thieves, and that's how I want to go." David had a lot of problems in his life. But he told about how it is like to suffer in his sin. "I am in the midst of lions. I lie among beasts." He's talking about people, okay? "Men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." May I see the next PPT? This is What are the lions? Lions are senseless animals. They're voracious. And they want to devour people. And then talk about lions, he talk about men. Men with teeth and tongues. They're sinister people. They're very vicious. And diabolical. Oh, diabolical means devilish. Okay. And he talk about spears, arrows, and sharp swords. Yeah. He talks about sharp objects he has to face. He talks about violence people did to him. He talks about how much damage people did to him. Isn't this a beautiful psalm? And he talks about all this. But yet in all this, what do you say? Go back to the PPT. You say, the one before. He said, be exalted, O God, among the heavens. Isn't it great? Can continue to praise God, okay? Now, the verb exalt occurs like 190 times, but this is an imperative, occurs only four times. And four times you see that, you say, be exalted, O God. Be uplifted above all our troubles. Help us to see above all our troubles. What does it mean, be exalted? Be exalted means that, God, you be elevated. You be empowered. You be enthroned. Let me not see myself, but let me see you far above all the earth. Above, over. This above, over is sometimes translated as above. Above and over. Over all the mist, over sky, over space, over all the spheres. Isn't that wonderful? That you, first thing you do is always have to just now plead for mercy. But now you can see God in his, all his glory. Right? And then say that, and then you go back to how people treat him. Okay, but whenever you go through trouble, don't forget God's glory in his power and also in your life. Sometimes I want to think, what is God's glory? Go to the next PPT. And this is what I found from the internet, what people say about the glory of God. It is in the sanctity and simplicity of life. The glory of God is in the sunrise and in the sunset. These are all written by people, okay? It's in the seasons and even in the songs. The glory of God can be seen in the storms and stillness of life, even in floods and fires, in earthquake and emergencies, in the dark. And somebody say he could see the glory of God in the desert. Isn't that interesting? In the beauty and even in the bleakness of life. And you can see God's glory in the nature and in the nurture of life. You can see God's glory in the least and the lowliest of people, in your strength and sicknesses. And most important, you see the glory of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the Bible. So when you're going through a hard time, don't forget the glory of God. Okay? Don't forget his goodness in your life. Because if you just look at the man, the beast, and the sharp swords, you'll be depressed very fast. Okay? But you always have to give your troubles to him. And go back to the first verses. Yeah. You see, they spread a net for my feet. They dug a pit in my path. Now, I ask, what's the difference between a net and a pit? Okay. Now, how are they? Why did David use this? Okay. Do we have the PowerPoint? Yeah. Net often symbolizes being caught in a situation like lies, obligations, or manipulation. It's something that wraps around you. A pit represents falling into despair, danger, or trap. It's something you fall into and struggle to climb up of. And this is from Perplexity AI. A net and a pit contrast in how to trap. A net catches many all at once, often unexpectedly and broadly, while a pit is a hidden, confined trap designed to catch something when it falls in. So a net is open and spread out. A pit is enclosed and concealed. So people want to trap us. Through all this, David prayed for God to save him. Okay, go back to the verse. Yeah. He end this part with the word save. One more. But they have fallen into it themselves. Your enemies, they do it to themselves rather than do it to you. They have fallen into it themselves. They disgrace themselves. They doom themselves, okay? And not us. Because our Lord is with us. The people who want to harm us, they dig their own grave, okay? They determine their own demise. And they drew their own downfall. So as we continue, as David did when he fled from Saul, he has this principle in his life that he plead to God for his mercy. Secondly, he must praise God in the highest. And third thing is to put your trust in him. Let's read 1, 2, 3. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among all nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. One day I received this foreword, which has been forwarded to a lot of people. I really love it. See this foreword? It's like this. God said, don't look around, because you'll be impressed. Don't look down. You'll be depressed. Just look to me, and you'll be blessed. The next one. Okay, let's read together. If you look at the world, you'll be depressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But you look at Christ, you will be at rest. It's true, right? When we focus on our problems, we mix ourselves, get down on ourselves more and more. But you look at Christ, he will lift your problems that is given to you, and you can relax about what you're going through. Okay, and the beauty in this psalm is that they repeat a lot of stuff, like be exalted twice, remember? Awake. And this time it says that my heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. In Old English, it says, my heart is fixed. Steadfast means fixed on God. And you see the fast is from the word fasten. The claw machine. to fasten yourself on God, okay? And not to be easily, no one can take your hands off him, to be firm in him. Sometimes you say to be fitted and fashioned in him. So you cling on to God. Your heart clings on to God. Because your heart makes you fear. But your heart, you give it to God. And what does it mean, steadfast? Steadfast, we use the word nowadays, resilient. That you be resolute to be rely on him. Okay? Your heart must be given to God. And then not only your heart, if your heart is given to God, what can you do? I will sing and make music. Okay? You can take away those things. Now, as it is, okay, you do something, you sing and music, so that those things don't distract from you. Go sing and make music. Okay, and this, it's not I will sing and music in original Hebrew. You go back to King James, it is what is called a cohortative. Now, you know imperative. Imperative is usually to you, right? Cohortative is to me. Let me sing. Let me make music. It's your command to yourself. Don't be distracted. Let me sing. Let me make music. That's when you see the English let, it's a kind of command. Let me sing. Let me make music to the Lord. Yes, yesterday I went to a concert and somebody sang Andrew Lloyd Webber's That's All I Ask of You. Let me be your shelter. Let me be your light. That's what it means. Let is like a command. It's a way of. So let me sing, let me music. It is determined to sing before the Lord and not talk about Saul damage in your life, rather than God's glory, his music, his joy, his heartbeat in your life. So when you're going through all these torments, it's very, very important that you can also be daring, you can be also dramatic and determined and instable, because you say, let me. God won't ask you to just say, let you, let me, if it's not doable. But something you can fix your eyes on Jesus, because it's about steadfast. Steadfast is to fix your eyes on him. And the next verse, in verse 8, is the most dramatic in this chapter, because the word awake appears not only twice, three times. Awake, my soul. Awake, the soul is the person. Okay, the object, harp and lyre. The dawn is the circumstances. So it's also very, very beautiful. And the first awake and the second awake are all commands, imperatives, second person. The third one is a cohortative again. I will. So the translation, let me awaken the dawn. Can you imagine somebody so bombastic? Say, let me awaken the dawn. It's like a Dragon Ball thing. But he would do it because he can trust in God. Okay? So let me do it. And what is awake? Awake is to, dictionary says, open your eyes. Okay, bear and open your eyes. Because it corresponds with dawn. Yeah. I will awaken the dawn, because dawn is the break, right? It's the day, the moment you open your eyes. It's comparable to the time. The dawn is that moment the sunlight comes in. So it said, I will awaken the dawn. I will sing. And the great thing is that when you're going through a low point in your life, all you can ever think of is who? You. But what did he say? You think of the Lord, and then you think of what? Other people. That's why I say joy is Jesus, others, yourself. J-O-Y. So you think of the Lord, and you think about the nations, the peoples. Okay? So what is your motivation in life? I'm always motivated with people. The people I love, I care for. I always say, okay, I'm going through a hard time in life, but I must think of my kids, okay, your kids, my family, right, my church members, my fellowship. Without me, no Bible study next week. Ah, then you'll wake up and you'll do your Bible study, right? And you need to pray for people, right? So whenever you focus on yourself, you become more depressed. But you focus on God and you think about the nations. Now is the time you're needed to pray for all the nations at war, right? And you also pray for people, right? This week I met an old friend, and he introduced me to a friend who's very blasphemous, who blasphemed the name of God, say every bad thing about church, pastors, and relationships. And I don't ever want to meet him again. But then my friend said that he had cancer. So for the last 3 days I've been faithfully praying for him, for his cancer. All of us, God, don't make people your enemies. Don't make countries their enemies. Just pray for them. Pray that God will bring a solution. Okay? So now, how much time do we have left? Okay, let's see. Okay, I'll skip a little bit so the young people can go. Okay, go back to the verses now. The verses, the most important thing is this. Another four. Do you see that? Verse 10. For great is your love reaching to heavens. Let me give you this pop quiz. Okay. Other than God, the noun God, in this chapter, what is the most repeated noun? God is the main actor. Who is the supporting actor? What word is the supporting actor? You'll be surprised. Heavens. This chapter is about heavens, comparing God's love to heavens. Now, and recently there's a Harvard physics lecturer who's been under fire because he tried to calculate how far is heavens. Okay, see, do you have the next PPT? Yeah. Oh, this is somebody came up with. He said, heaven is roughly 273 billion trillion miles away. So I tried to get, what is billion? It's 9 zeros at the back. And trillion is another 3 more. 12. So it should be 273 plus 15 zeros at the back. So, but this is what David is saying. Your faithfulness reaches to the heavens. Now, I'm not good at math, okay? So you guys calculate for yourself. What is he saying? God's love is great, abundant. He can never use all of his. This is what he wants to say. Okay. Let's go to the application. Go back to the, I love the chart. I will tell you about the chart. One more. Actually, this is a beautiful psalm. In the end, it says, where? My heart. My heart is steadfast. What? Awake, awake. How? With your harp and lyre. When? The dawn. Where? Among the nations. Why? Because great is his love, reaching to the heavens. Okay, now we go to application. Last one. Okay, your eyes on heaven. When you look at heaven, what do you think of? What's the first word? Test your English. Huh? Yeah, I don't know if you remember the song, Pass It On. In the skies is handiwork, I see. Handiwork. Okay, in the Bible says, when you look at heavens, remember God's handiwork is from the work of his hands. Okay, you look at his handiwork. Okay, what's ye? Ye in or ye out? Huh? 存在啊? Existence. Huh? But this is a good one. Use the Chinese on you. Okay, what's A and Y? 行动啊? Activity. How do you guys get it, huh? What's B? 他有个本德啊? It's virtues, okay? When you look at heaven, you see all the great things about God, all his attributes, okay? What's E? This one is like, I take a long time to, what's E? It's a hospital. We are one of the churches. Evangelical, okay? What's evangel? What's evangel? Evangel is good news, okay? When you look at heavens, you see God's salvation. See God telling you he loves you. The heavens, remember? The heavens what? Declare the glory of God. Remember? And what's the last one? And look at heavens. What do you see? God's love for you. What do you see in that word? Nurture. Okay? God's nurture. So, when you're going through trouble, what are three things we have to do? Number one is what? Plead to God for his mercy. Number two? Praise God. Right? Praise God in the highest. What's the last thing? Put your trust in him. Okay? First, what's number one? Plead to God for his mercy. Number two? Praise. Okay, third, put your trust in him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just want to come to you, Lord. Sometimes you have to fight through so many things in life, and we're kind of tired, Lord. But yet, when we flee, Lord, we know it's not the solution. So we come to you, Lord, for mercy, Lord. We know you love us, Lord. Your loving kindness is always with us, Lord. And Lord, us, Lord, not just get down on ourselves, but look to you and save that last breath for us to praise you, Lord. And not only that, Lord, we pray, Lord, that when going through all those things in life, we will awake, and we will awake to continue to look to you for solution to things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.